They should have spanked your ass when you were a kid.
It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I know it's not technically the sit down, which is what we normally do Sunday night, but you all wanted a recap of the Great American Bash, which just went off the air about 5 minutes ago, so I am here giving you a recap and review of NXT's Great American Bash, taking place in Austin, Texas, and apparently Austin, Texas is not very fond of Gable Steveson. Wow. You're not Angle. Not a bad show. The main event obviously stole it. Dominic versus Wesley versus Mustafa Ali. I think a close second. That was a fun match. I think the outcome, in fact, most of the matches, the outcome was pretty predictable. But two of the finishes tonight, I honestly think, were less to be desired. I understand you don't want Thea Hale to lose two matches in a row to Tiffany Stratton. So we got to get a bullshit finish tonight. Thea Hale is 19 years old, got a whole career ahead of her. If you really didn't want to put her in that position, why put her in that match in the first place tonight? And honestly, if you listen close by those fans, and no, it's not Bizarro Land, those are fans expressing their views. You heard at one point, let's go, Thea sucks. Let's go. And it wasn't just clear cut, let's cheer for the heels tonight and Gia the baby. Listen, Thea Hale doesn't suck. She has done great. And listen, we didn't even talk about some title changes that went on tonight. If you saw my Twitter, at Don Tony D, and it's funny, I see a super chat came in about my Don Tony D Twitter handle, which I'll answer that in a few. But tonight, as we expected and as we predicted, we got new tag team champions. The family. Isn't that funny, everyone? I've been calling you guys the family for years and years and years. We've been doing a sit down for years and years and years. I am Tony D, the Don of podcasting, and they won gold tonight. And listen, I know I was gonna bring out the wine, but it's a little late here, and I want to get myself a little bit of sleep tonight. I don't want to get a little tipsy, or maybe I get the munchies later. But as we Italians do for a celebration, we don't drink champagne, we don't have a beer toast. We take Italian bread, pardon my wimpy little glasses. We take Italian bread, keto bread, by the way, because I'm on a keto diet. We get some of Mama's marinara, some nice marinara. This is how the Italians celebrate. You take Italian bread, you take a little bit of Mama's sauce, you dip it in the Pecorino Romano cheese. Oh. Cheers to the family. La Familia. Win the tag team title tonight. I will not eat for the rest of the show, I promise. But if you've never had it, I'm talking with food in my mouth. If you've never had it, you got to try it one time. Get some nice tomato sauce. Get a nice, crispy semolina Italian bread. And just take the bread, dip it in the sauce, dip it in grated cheese. You'll eat the whole fucking loaf. Ah, congrats. Listen, They have improved. 1 year ago on these shows, we talked about that there was buzz behind the scenes that if Stacks didn't start improving his game a little bit quicker, that he was on the chopping block. Tony D'Angelo didn't even have a wrestling career before he came to NXT. And look how far they've come. Are they better than Gallus? No. Just like Carmelo Hayes is not better than Ilya Dragunov, and that's not a shit on Carmelo Hayes. I got tomato sauce somehow on my glasses. I see a speck of marinara sauce. But they've come a long way. And for NXT developmental? Yeah. Yeah, why not? Give them the titles. You know, this isn't the main roster. I think that's what a lot of people seem to forget. This is still developmental. So if you want to test something, you want to try something, you want to reward someone for hard work, by all means, do it. No objection. Question is, where do you go from here? We all know that the Dyad are leaving in less than 2 months. Well, about 2 months. They do have time still to maybe have a little feud with the family. I don't know if that's the way to go, though. Now, I'm not going to get into NXT previews tonight because this is just to discuss Great American Bash. On Monday's post-Raw show, we will do the previews for the week. So we'll talk about that on Monday, the 31st of June. Oh, July. What am I saying? I'm going away in a month. I get my months wrong. Oh, and by the way, little quick plug for those that are interested. Yes, this is tonight's NXT Great American Bash. Yes, that is tomorrow's post-Raw show. But Tuesday, August 1st, yeah, Kev Katzel and yours truly will be back for your SummerSlam preview predictions. This is the official poster for NXT Great American Bash. I already was promised two fully autographed posters to give away on the shows. So, you know, where I come from, there's a little phrase, I believe it when I see it. And I know this person in Florida is probably getting a little chuckle when he hears what I'm saying this, but I believe it when I see it. But when those posters arrive, we will definitely give them away. They will be autographed by everybody you see on the poster. God damn it. We don't have any Ulysses Leon or Noam Dar because they were pre-show, but that's all right. That's all right. Let's get into the show, shall we? Now, before Great American Bash started, we had a bunch of pre-show videos. Man, if you paid attention to those little video packages they did for some NXT stars. They did one for Bron Breakker. They did one for Cora Jade. They did one for Gigi Dolan. But they also did a couple of WWE stars before the show started. And two in particular, Charlotte Flair, who was sitting at ringside tonight. I don't know for how long, but she was at ringside tonight. No Andrade sighting. I don't think you would see that, especially since he's on AEW's roster right now. But the video package for Brock Lesnar, I don't know if they've done that one before. They probably have. I just never noticed it. But, man, that was a fucking awesome package that they did of Brock. I was just like, I can't wait for SummerSlam now just to see. I mean, we know it's going to happen. But that was a good video package. So, Great American Bash night. And, listen, overall, the event was great. It did have a couple of caca moments, which we will talk about. I have some video clips for you. And, yeah, we will definitely share a couple of highlights from Gable Steveson as well. Wow. That was interesting. That was very interesting. And I know some people out there know about the controversy when he was in college. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think when we get to the match, I think the overall presence, the look, plus the fans are appreciating the hard work that Baron Corbin is putting in right now. And speaking of Baron Corbin, we'll get to the main event match at the end of this recap, but I will say this early on. If you paid attention closely to the Ilya Dragunov-Carmelo Hayes match, they used almost identical the template that they did for Baron Corbin versus Carmelo Hayes. No, Baron Corbin's offense is nowhere near what Ilya Dragunov's offense is. They both have two totally different styles. But if you remember that match, Corbin dominated about 80% of that match. And the crowd was strongly behind Corbin. And Melo finally got a little bit of offense, capitalized. But, you know, Carmelo Hayes, we're watching a star grow right before our very high eyes. I am not crapping on Melo in any way, shape, or form. But people don't realize it, but Carmelo Hayes is stuck in the NXT mud right now. Yeah, you may not tune in every week. Maybe you tune in for the premium live event. Maybe you tune in when a special main roster guy is or gal is going to be on the show. But if you pay attention closely, ever since Carmelo Hayes feuded with Bron Breakker, there is nobody on that roster right now that you feel that he can have a feud with deep into the summer. Ilya Dragunov tonight, that match was incredible. But if you look at it closely, Ilya had 95% of the offense for the first 10 minutes of the match. They're chanting, "This is awesome." This was reminiscent of Brock Lesnar destroying John Cena. Ilya just beat the balls off of Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo got some offense in, got some defense reversals, and towards the end of the match, his win, I believed it. I mean, suspension of disbelief, it was fine. But it does expose a little bit that now you have two matches in a row. And if you even want to go a little further, you go back to the Bron Breakker match. Bron Breakker dominated a good portion of that match as well. Do you really want him? You know, he shoots, he don't misses. Yeah, he shoots and he don't misses. But if he's got a 100% percentage shooting hoops, but he only scores 4 points a game, it's not really that impressive. So you shoot, you don't miss, that's fine. But when you only shoot a couple of times, you know, let's be honest. People tonight, finally, people online are starting to think, wow, is Trick Williams going to turn on Carmelo Hayes? When Trick did that interview with Mackenzie Phillips in the back during Great American Bash, I saw it trending all over Twitter. Oh, is he going to turn? They finally, we've been talking about that for 5 weeks. Melo versus Trick seems like the only feud for Melo going into the fall. Give me someone else. Wesley? Honestly, I don't know about that. Mustafa Ali? I mean, it'll be a great match. But is it going to tear, you know, is it going to be that buzz? Is it going to be, you know, everybody's going to want to pay attention to it? No. Trick Williams or Carmelo Hayes is the match that I think everybody will probably put the most eyes on. And then even once you get past there, then what? So we will see. But let's talk about everything. By the way, I showed you at the beginning, they had a little tribute to Dusty Rhodes. The beginning was narrated by Cody Rhodes. Texas is the home where the American Dream was born. And they talked about a Great American Bash, talked about its history. And it was a beautiful introduction for the Great American Bash. Now, the pre-show tonight, we got to talk about that match as well. Let's kick it off. Pre-show match tonight, we had Dragon Lee, Nathan Frazier, Lulisa Leon and Valentina Feroz defeated the Metaphor. Noam Dar, Ora Mensah, Jakara Jackson, and Lash Legend. It was a decent match. Noam Dar is walking around with the counterfeit Heritage Cup. So we have a counterfeit cup champion versus the real Heritage Cup champion. And they start off the match. And the match was good. It was a fun pre-show match. Lash Legend has improved. She's still got a long way to go. And I know there's a lot of comparisons of Lash Legend to Jade Cargill. It's not just because of skin color. It's because of size, height, you know, their backgrounds athletic wise. I still think that Jade Cargill, even though, you know, she's got a lot more to improve, I think Jade Cargill is still way ahead in the ability department as far as in the ring. Jakara Jackson, she sells tremendously, but her offense is kind of sucks. She could throw a chop, but if you watch closely today, her timing is off. She's still got a long way to go. Aura Mensah is okay, you know, but when you watch this match, you realize that Nathan Frazer, yeah, you probably could bring him to the main roster. And you look at his size, you look at his look, his hair, almost reminds you a little bit of a Brian Kendrick. And Dragon Lee, he's ready, man. Dragon Lee, you could put on the main roster right now. I mean, if AEW could have Commander and Gravity and others, and yes, thank you everybody who let me know that Gravity was Bandito's brother. I did not know that. But you see some of those wrestlers shining on that main roster in AEW. There's no reason why Dragon Lee could not hold his own. The problem is, and this is what we talked about with some others who have graduated to the main roster, from Indy Hartwell to others, Isla Dawn, Alba Fire. You know, getting to the main roster is great. What you do once you get there is a whole different thing. Look at, what's his face? He didn't even debut yet on Raw. I'm drawing a blank right now. Someone will remind me. But, you know, once you get to the main roster, you that's why everybody, when people say, oh, bring him to the main roster now, you got to bring him. And then you say to yourself, Odyssey Jones. Thank you, Chris. Odyssey Jones. You know, whenever you hear someone talk about that with NXT stars, you got to look at their size. You got to look at their gender, obviously. And then you got to look at where they would fit in. If it's a tag team, like Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, okay. You know, the women's tag team division is not extremely strong. But you got rid of the NXT women's tag titles. So that's non-existent. You take Dragon Lee and you bring him to the main roster. How is he going to leapfrog a whole bunch of guys on Raw, a whole bunch of guys on SmackDown? Are you going to put an LWO shirt on him and boom, you know, he's got some... No, there's a lot of people. You don't want to put somebody in a main roster and then just get lost. Look at Xia Li and others. So Dragon Lee is fucking ready. But right now, I wouldn't put him on the main roster. Not even close. So in the end, Dragon Lee, Nathan Frazer, Luisa Leon, and Valentina Feroz, they won. Nathan Frazer, at the end of the match, takes out Noam Dar on the outside. Dragon Lee pins Aura Mensah. And it's NXT quality match. Pay-per-view quality? No, but a nice way to get the crowd going. And listen, that crowd tonight in Austin, Texas was a lot of fun. I know, again, some people might feel it's a little bit of bizarro land because of their reaction towards some of the wrestlers. But no, I mean, there is some exposure. And that's what happens, you know, when you do go outside of Orlando, Florida. You know, you're going to be a little bit more under the microscope. Plus, you got to keep in mind, you know, when you go to NXT in Florida, it's free. It's free. When I went on my honeymoon that day, when Solo Sikoa won the North American Championship and then they had to take it away from him, we didn't have to pay for anything. We were just on a list and we got in. These people tonight, they paid decent money to go see it. So they're going to have it a little bit extra under a microscope. If I give you something to eat for free, you know, you're going to enjoy it even if it sucks. Or you'll have a couple of bites and throw it out. But if I charge you premium money for it, yeah, you're going to voice your opinion if you're not very thrilled with it. So nice opening match. But again, we had the opener, Cody Rhodes narrating the Great American Bash. And as I said earlier, opening match, Tony D'Angelo and Stax, the family, defeats Gallus to win the NXT Tag Team Championships. Tony D coming out wearing a little bit of a nails look, wearing orange trunks, orange pants, basically to simulate the orange colors that he had to wear in prison. Stax comes out with an orange jacket. And I don't know if you noticed it closely, But if you, at some point, because we haven't seen Tony D wrestling for a while, if you noticed tonight and you said to yourself, wow, it looks like Tony D has put a little bit of weight on him, bulked up a little bit. Tony D'Angelo earlier today posted a photo of him after he finished his workout. And I'm going to share it with you now. If you thought that Tony D starting to put on some substantial muscle, hey, you were right. Tony D is starting to bulk up. And that is going to help him tremendously. Because unlike some other guys out there, you know, that are bigger, stronger, you know, you don't have to leave your feet. Tony D is an Italian guy. You don't want to see him to do drop kicks and huracanranas and all that other stuff. You want to see him to punch, kick, and do some power moves. You even want, yeah, he worked out while he was in prison. He worked out. He lifted a lot of weights. Well, he looks good, man. He looks good. This was a fun match. It was a fun match. Tony D'Angelo at one point hit a nice superplex onto Mark Coffey, followed by a splash by Stax. And here we think, wow, you know, nice double team maneuver. Maybe they're going to get the win here, but Wolfgang breaks it up at a two. Stax does not realize that Wolfgang ends up becoming a legal man, and he gets taken out briefly. And then we get a little bit of interference from Joe Coffey. Joe Coffey is outside the ring. He gives Wolfgang a club, little like miniature bat. You know what it looked like to me? It looked like those mini, any of you out there that's like old school for me, that a little bit older, back 20, 30 years ago, if you went to like Yankee Stadium, they would have mini bat night. And you could Google it for images. They give you like a mini bat that's like the size of this. And if you go on Google Images, you'll see tons of pictures of them. They were cool until you realized in the 70s and the 80s in the Bronx, the last thing you want to do is give out 50,000 little mini bats, especially going on the subway after, and you're trying to get home, and you got all these people, Warriors, come out to play, yay! So it looked like one of these little mini bats. So Wolfgang has it, the referee sees it, the referee chucks it out, and then the ref gets distracted again. So Tony D grabs his cane, and Tony D takes out Joe Coffey. This allows the family to get the upper hand. And the end result is Tony D'Angelo hitting the bada boom, bada bing on Mark Coffey for the win. So you're new NXT tag team champions, Tony D'Angelo and Stax. Congratulations. Very, very happy for both guys. Tony D has worked hard. Stax, maybe even harder. And I don't like comparing it like that, but I don't think people realize how close on a cutting block Stax was about a year ago. Doing good. And you know what? I'm glad that they referenced him tonight as Stax. And I know what some of you are saying right now, like, DT, they always do that. No. Too many times they put Channing Stax Lorenzo. No disrespect to the Channings out there tuning into this recap and review. But, you know, from where I come from, nobody I know tough is named Channing. I think of the woman from Greece. What was her name? Stockard Channing? There ain't no Channing. You can use a nickname. Stax. Stax. That's it. And they showed tonight, new tag team champions, Tony D'Angelo and Stax. If you ever see my recaps, I always put Stax. I don't put Channing Lorenzo. And I don't even like Lorenzo as a last name, because most of the people I know with the name Lorenzo, that's their first name. So congrats to them. Definitely hard work paid off. Let's see what they could do with it now. So we had more video packages. I think we had Cora Jade's at this time. This was good. This match clicked on all cylinders. Roxanne Perez's little sister, maybe a little bit of too much pressure, you know, reacting to her sister getting beat up at ringside. You know, you got to give the kid a break. But, you know, if you actually look closely, there was a couple of times where Roxanne is getting beat up and her sister's got like a little smile on her face. But this was the weapons wild match. They used trash cans. They used tables, chairs. They used branding irons. They're in Texas. Use Texas props. Roxanne Perez is from Texas. So the crowd heavy behind Roxanne Perez. You know, again, some people may have thought it was a little bit bizarre, Lynn, the way the fans were reacting to some of the baby faces. Not in the case of Roxanne Perez. She was pretty much 100% the fans were behind her. There was one, and I know we're kind of like splitting hairs here, there was one little bad moment. You saw the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Roxanne Perez is in the ring with Blair Davenport. Roxanne Perez throws the chair to Blair Davenport. And I don't, unfortunately don't have any little mini chair props, but Blair Davenport holds it, and Roxanne is supposed to hit her like the Van Damminator. Remember when Rob Van Dam used to toss a chair to someone like, hey, what am I supposed to do? And then he just kicks the chair into somebody's head. Roxanne Perez took a little bit too long. And she tosses the chair to Blair Davenport. Kind of funny that I have this license plate sitting here. But I used to have it in the background, but some people got offended by it. But hey, how do you know that I'm not showing support for the rapper? But pretend this is the chair. Blair Davenport, she tosses the chair to Blair Davenport. Blair Davenport grabs it, and she's like this. She's like this. She's literally holding it for like 2 seconds. And she's like, oh, hit me already. And it just didn't look really good. That was the only point in a match that was a little shaky. But we get a little bit of outside of the ring brawling. At one point, Blair Davenport is making fun of Roxanne Perez's mom. Her mother looks just like her. Holy shit, does Roxanne Perez's mom look just like her. Her sister, you know, she's crying a little bit, and Blair Davenport is mocking her and everything. The brawl ends up back into the ring, and during this, Roxanne Perez, first she would take a table and lay it out outside the ring, and the crowd was popping for it. The table's laid outside the ring, set up. Blair Davenport sets up a few chairs piled on top of each other inside the ring, and they brawl inside the ring a little bit. It leads back outside. Roxanne Perez starts getting a little bit of the upper hand. There was one move that looked, the camera angle was beautiful too. Blair Davenport is laid out outside the ring, leaning against the ring steps. And Roxanne Perez hits her with a running knee. Not only did it look beautiful connecting, but Blair Davenport had nowhere to go. So obviously the sound of the steps also made it even better. So then they start brawling a little bit further. And Blair Davenport ends up getting laid out on the table. And Roxanne Perez climbs the ropes and splashes Blair Davenport through the table. And the crowd is chanting, holy shit, they're chanting, this is awesome. And before Blair Davenport could even breathe, Roxanne Perez tosses her back in the ring. Now, earlier, Roxanne Perez tried to hit Pop Rocks on Blair onto the chairs. Well, that ended up being the finish tonight, because right after Blair was put through the table, Roxanne Perez brings her back in the ring and immediately hits her with Pop Rocks.
Will the third time be the charm? Pop Rocks!
So, Roxanne Perez gets the win. And, you know, you see the family at ringside and they're happy and everything clicked in the match. That was a good brawl. You felt the heat. Everything worked. What you would expect him to do, they did. You know, sometimes you see some of these weapons matches, no matter what promotion you're watching, and some of it just like, I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that? That's kind of stupid. Why are you doing this? Like, everything they did mattered in the match, and it was a good match. So now we get to the fun. And by the way, I'll give a couple of super shout-outs in a moment because I see a few came in. So to the three of you out there, we will talk about it. No Brian Pillman Jr. tonight. You know, and listen, that's not a bit. That looks better. That's not a bad idea, Rizzo. When we were talking about Carmelo Hayes before, Brian Pillman Jr., that would be a great way to distract a little bit of Carmelo Hayes stuck in the mud. I would do it. The only problem is, here's the only problem with Brian Pillman Jr. immediately feuding with Carmelo Hayes. You know, it's not like ECW or the early years of TNA or, you know, any promotion that somebody's just coming in for a short time. You know, if you tune into, listen, this is not about liking or disliking Jim Cornette. You could tune into Dutch Mantel. You could tune into Jeff Jarrett. You could tune in. Whenever they talk about their old school promotions, you know, they would talk about somebody coming in to the territory for a little while, feuding with the champion, and then they would leave. Happened even in the WWF back in the early days. But in this case, Brian Pillman Jr. is not coming in for a cup of coffee. You know, he's coming in and he's going to be signed. So if he feuds with Carmelo Hayes so early and loses, then what do you do? What do you do? Sure, you could have him feud. There's a bunch of people in NXT you could have him feud with, but I don't know if I would immediately start off with Brian Pillman Jr. versus Carmelo Hayes. It's almost like putting tape on something. Something that has a hole in it, you put a tape. Not that Flex Seal shit. You ever see those, that infomercial? That chubby, who should I should talk, right? That chubby guy. This is Flex Seal. Put 1 inch of tape and it holds 9,000 pounds. We flooded this whole house. We put 6 feet of water outside and just taped the outside with Flex Seal. I want that guy to be buried in Flex Seal. I want him to wrap it around. What's that guy's name? I don't know. I want them to wrap his whole body in Flex Seal. And then, I don't know. You know, maybe like tie like a like a little bungee cord or like a little twist tied to it. Let's see if that Flex Seal holds. Put him over the Grand Canyon. That fucking guy. He's so annoying, man. I thought ShamWow guy used to be annoying. Flex Seal. And it's probably decent. But when they say, like, this truck, I could hold this truck in the air with one piece of Flex Seal. That's where they lose it. All right, let's bring it back. The next match. This was fun. This was fun. It's not the way that Gable Steveson, Phil Swift, thank you, Left Twix. Phil Swift here for Flex Seal. Do I have any Flex Seal? No. I like Gorilla Glue. Gorilla Glue. Fuck the Flex Seal. I don't have Flex Seal. Bill Swift. All right, Gable Steveson, Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, I've never been a fan of. I'm a little confused how he has escaped so many cuts over the last couple of years. I don't wish releases on anybody, no matter what company it is. That's people's livelihoods. Even though, you know, he uses his money and gets a lot of excess with it. But that's his prerogative. But you look at the cuts of 2020, 2019, you know, when the stock was over $100 a share back in, what, 2018 or 2017, and then WWE went on this crazy hiring spree, and then the stock went down and COVID hit, and they consolidated. How did this guy escape all those cuts? It kind of blows me away. But you're now seeing that this guy actually could work, and they never turned him babyface when he was doing Happy Corbin and he was down on his luck. A lot of us thought that was the perfect time to turn him babyface. Didn't happen. Comes to NXT, and some people thought, you know, maybe they're going to do it there. He goes back to the Lone Wolf, which is good. And people are starting to show respect for his in-ring work. So Gable Steveson is having his in-ring debut today, his official first match. And as we talked about on this past Wednesday night Dynamite, I wish they would have hyped this match up 2-3 weeks ago, because they could have emphasized the fact that Baron Corbin retired one Olympic gold medalist in Kurt Angle, and he's going to retire another one. Yes, I know they said it tonight, but I think a week or two leading up to it, I think it would have added a little bit more heat. And me personally, I said it on Wednesday, and I'll say it here again. WWE made a big mistake tonight. They should have had Kurt Angle come out with Gable Steveson. I'm sure Kurt Angle would have done it for very, very cheap. They're both Olympic gold medalists. Kurt Angle is a Hall of Famer. Kurt Angle is beloved. If Kurt Angle walks to the fucking ring with Gable Steveson and is cheering him on, especially that Baron Corbin, Gable Steveson's opponent, retired Kurt Angle. I don't know if Kurt Angle could throw a belly to back anymore, but Kurt Angle could have hit Baron Corbin with one belly to back after the match was over, and it would have felt like a little bit of redemption after Baron Corbin, he had his last match against Baron Corbin. Have Kurt Angle come out with him one time, Gable Steveson. It's not going to be like Roman Reigns and The Rock. Remember, what was it, WrestleMania? Wasn't it WrestleMania when The Rock held Roman Reigns' hand up high and the crowd was all booing Roman Reigns and he had that little bit of blood on his face? And Rock's looking like, the fuck is going on here? The fuck? That wouldn't have happened tonight. That would not have happened tonight if Kurt Angle would have come out with Gable Steveson giving his sign of approval. Royal Rumble. Thank you, everybody. Royal Rumble. Kurt Angle would have came out with Gable Steveson tonight. What went down, I don't think would have happened. So what ends up happening? Let me put it like this. Gable Steveson was not very well received from the fans. He comes out there and he's having a back and forth with Baron Corbin. By the way, he's dressed pretty much how we expected him to dress. And that was another mistake. He looks like Kurt Angle's, like he's wearing an old Kurt Angle outfit when Kurt Angle first broke in 2000. And the fans early on are chanting, "You're not Angle." And they're chanting against him. Gable sucks. Gable sucks. So they're having a brawl, and the crowd is cheering for Baron Corbin. I mean, just cheering him completely. And if you want a feel of what it felt like watching this, if you didn't tune into NXT, if you didn't watch it, here is a quick clip. Just listen to the crowd during this match. Vic Joseph even had to acknowledge it.
And Corbin has now
Steveson
trying his best to fight back in this match. We knew it would be an uphill battle somewhat for Steveson.
They were chanting, "Let's go Corbin," for the whole match. Gable Steveson would get a little bit of offense. Didn't look bad. I want to make this clear. He did not look bad in this match. But every time he went for offense, crowd booed. There was nothing that Gable Steveson could have done tonight that would have got him over. And the finish didn't help. What ends up happening is Gable Steveson lands a few belly-to-back suplexes, clotheslines Baron Corbin, who flips over the top rope, goes to the floor, and the crowd is still booing the shit out of Gable Steveson after that flurry. Gable Steveson goes to the outside. He starts brawling with Baron Corbin, tosses Baron Corbin over the table, and the crowd is still booing the shit out of Gable Steveson. And while this is going on, the referee is right in the corner in the ring. 3, 4. Baron Corbin then takes Gable Steveson, throws him into the steps, and the referee and Corbin are this close to each other. And the referee's going, 7, 8. And all Corbin had to do, as far as TV goes, is roll in and get the count out victory. Yes, I know this is not what WWE wanted, but on TV, it looked bad. Because Corbin ends up right next to the referee who is at 8. And Corbin continues to beat down Gable Steveson. And the ref calls for the bell. Double count out. Crowd starts chanting, bullshit, bullshit. They start brawling a little bit more. And just to give you more of a feel of what it felt like for Gable Steveson, here's the finish at the very end.
Corbin and Steveson taking it to one another.
They booed him. Booed him out of the fucking building. Didn't recover. They did a post-match brawl. And the post-match brawl tells us that this feud is going to continue a little bit further. But they made a big mistake tonight. They should have brought Kurt Angle. Listen, I know what somebody's going to say to me. Trust me, I'm always trying to think one step ahead. Somebody's going to say to me, DT, maybe they didn't bring Kurt Angle in because they were going to do the count out. And it would have looked stupid if Kurt Angle, you know, was at ringside and it was a count out. Not necessarily. Because if there was a count out and then a pull apart, Kurt Angle could have been trying to pull everybody apart also. And maybe Corbin gets in Kurt Angle's face and Kurt Angle tosses him once. Crowd would have went insane. Again, especially with the history of Baron Corbin and Kurt Angle, that was the opportunity to get Gable Steveson off the ground. Now, you know what happens? Me watching at home, all of you watching at home, fans watching all across the globe, they're seeing like, wow, people don't like Gable Steveson. Now it trends on Twitter. Now everybody is crapping for the most part. And then you got people bringing up the controversy in his college years. Look it up. I don't want to talk about it here. And then that piles on and piles on, and all of that becomes a big scab for Gable Steveson. You never get a second chance at a first impression. That was an old commercial. That phrase always stuck with me. That, sure, they could bring in Kurt Angle for a future match between Gable and Baron Corbin. Damage already done. Damage already done. So they fucked up tonight. That was a huge miss on WWE's part, because all of that damage tonight, listen, I'm pretty confident Gable Steveson will be just fine. And who knows? Sometimes when you turn someone heel, when you least expect it, it ends up working out beautifully. Will Gable Steveson ever be on the level of The Rock? Probably not. But Rocky Maivia smiling up the joint, stinking up the joint. That heat, that hatred from the fans, Rocky sucks, die Rocky, die, that shifted everything and turned Rocky Maivia into one of the greatest heels in the last 30 years at that time. It's amazing how it transformed. You know, the blue chipper turned into the biggest dick and everybody loved it. Big miss opportunity tonight, in my opinion, by WWE. So we move on to the next match. Dominic Mysterio versus Wesley versus Mustafa Ali in a three-way. Remember, there's no disqualification in a match like this. And before the match happened, we had a backstage segment. Remember what we talked about on Wednesday, the 24 hours of Rhea Ripley. What a difference from Raw to NXT as far as what she did. But remember when they closed out NXT, when she said to Lyra Valkyria, prove me right, take care of JC Jane. So we had a backstage brawl today that's going to lead into a match this coming Tuesday between JC Jane and Lyra Valkyria. And Rhea Ripley is in the back. She's laughing. She's enjoying it. These two women are beating the shit out of each other, and she is having a ball. So we get the match. Dominic Mysterio obviously comes out with Rhea Ripley. Dominic getting some decent pops from the crowd. Remember where they are. They're in Texas. And there was a decent number of signs also for Dominic Mysterio. But we knew once Rhea Ripley is at ringside, and you know what's funny, guys? How long ago was it when Rhea Ripley took on Akira Tozawa. Do you remember all of those blue check marks? This is before Elon Musk took over Twitter. Remember all those blue check marks and these gigantic podcasters that they're saying, oh, they're bringing back intergender wrestling. They're going to have the women versus the men. And we talked about it then, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Tozawa was not allowed to lay a hand on Rhea Ripley. The only time Tozawa got offense is defense. Moved out of the way, Rhea Ripley runs into a corner. And then since then, you never see a guy being a... They'll tease it. We'll see Solo Sikoa in the face of Rhea Ripley, or we'll see somebody else in the face of Rhea Ripley, and it never leads to a guy putting hands on Rhea Ripley or anybody else. So you know that Rhea Ripley tonight is going to get involved. You know that no one is going to lay a hand on her, and that shit ain't changing. Maybe once the Endeavor deal is done, that could change. And I know what some of you are saying, DT, why would you even think that? Because you look at UFC, you look at Endeavor, and their advertisers are completely different than WWE's. UFC is not kid-friendly. It's not family entertainment. Sure, you know, some people do bring their kids to those events, but that is not designed. Their advertising, their demo is a little bit different than World Wrestling Entertainment, family-friendly stuff. Now you have Endeavor merging UFC with WWE. I'm telling you, I think TV 14 will be back after the merger is done. When everybody was celebrating, remember that last year everybody was celebrating, TV 14 is back. I'm like, that's ridiculous. There was no way, because WWE has to clear through the advertisers, have to clear through the networks. They have to let their stockholders know that we're going to change our programming to TV 14. You can't just announce it. And all these dirt sheets and podcasters and reporters all report out last year. I'm like, did any of them like just take a step back and say, how the fuck are they going to do that without notifying their stockholders and their advertisers? And it didn't happen. It's because nobody thinks on their own. So we know Rhea Ripley's going to get involved tonight, and we know that nobody's going to touch her. Sure enough, that's what happens. Early on, Dominic, I know this doesn't sound politically correct, but Dominic getting a little bit double-teamed from his opponents. They're beating him down. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was early on. And the crowd is loving it. And this was a fun match. This was a lot better than Wesley and Dominic Mysterio one-on-one. And what was great about it is that since Wesley and Mustafa Ali gel really, really nicely together, we had moments where Ali and Lee were both going at it, Dominic Mysterio getting a breather outside the ring. But Dominic Mysterio, being a chicken shit, always needing Rhea Ripley to win, and that is designed that way. People online tonight, they're like, can Dominic ever do anything without mommy getting involved? Yeah. But the whole idea is to piss you off. The whole idea is to get under your skin. So when Rhea Ripley isn't there or gets ejected or it backfires, it'll mean even more. So we get a fun match tonight. We had one moment that was pretty cool, and I grabbed a screenshot of it. At one point, Mustafa Ali decided to put a Boston Crab on Wes Lee and then at the same time put the Camel Clutch on Dominic Mysterio. Now, you know what was great about that? Something that I've been saying since the days of Mankind with the Mandible Claw. I mean, listen, Mick Foley's in my top five of my favorites of all time. Mick Foley, beautiful man outside the ring. Met him a few times. You know, just genuine good guy. But even I would say it back in the day. The reason why I never really liked the Mandible Claw all that much is, yeah, if you suspension of disbelief, lodge your fingers all the way down the throat of someone, you do paralyze it. I don't know if any of you bulimics out there ever stuck your fingers down your throat. Trust me, you stick your fingers down your throat, you know, you really, your mouth kind of paralyzes from it because the muscles down there take control in your gagging, and you can't do, no one is talented enough to be gagging from down here and use your teeth at the same time. So when you do the mandible claw, obviously Mick Foley is not going to take his fingers and say, I'm going to take my fingers and shove them all the way down your throat so it looks real. No, they had to improvise. So sometimes he would have to bend his fingers and go in a little bit, and it looked like he was all the way down there, but he's not. And then after a while, when Sacco came around, Mick Foley would just barely put, I don't want to start putting fingers in my mouth. Get your finger out of your ear. You don't know where that finger's been. He would barely put his fingers in someone's mouth, and I would say, just bite it. Just bite it. So what happens tonight? Mustafa Ali puts the camel clutch on Dominic Mysterio, and Dominic is like, I know how to break out of it. He just bit the fingers of Mustafa Ali. Easy, right? So we get a little bit of back and forth. There was one point in the match where Dominic got a little bit too cocky. Dominic went for the Three Amigos on Mustafa Ali, hit two. Then he went for the Three Amigos onto Wesley, he got two. And then he decided to land the third one, unbolted them together. So he grabs both Wesley and Mustafa Ali, and he's about to hit the Three Amigo on them together. They decide to reverse it and suplex him. So the latter part of the match, and I got another clip for you here. The latter part of the match, Mustafa Ali is taken out. Mustafa Ali did a move that looks so painful on TV. Dominic Mysterio goes for the 619 on Wesley, but Wesley Dominic gets super kicked. So Dominic is out on the ring apron. So Mustafa Ali climbs the top rope and attempts a 450 on Dominic, but not to the middle of the ring, to the ring apron on the edge. So Dominic gets out of dodge, and Mustafa Ali lands on the edge of the apron doing a 450. The crowd was like, holy shit, holy shit. So Mustafa Ali, he's done. He's done. Wesley now gets distracted multiple times by Rhea Ripley. One time, Wesley is about to pin Dominic Mysterio. Rhea Ripley distracts him. Dominic hits a fruit roll-up, gets a two count. Then there's another point where Dominic Mysterio is on the outside of the ring. Wesley is in the inside of the ring. He's about to run the ropes and dive through the ropes onto Dominic, and Rhea Ripley climbs the apron. Ref can't do nothing about it. There's no disqualification. So Rhea Ripley standing on the apron, and then Rhea Ripley turns around to look at Dominic, and she bends through the ropes. Great, great timing. She bends through the ropes to see if Dominic is okay. So when she bends down, Wesley runs the ropes, dives over Rhea Ripley onto Dominic to the outside. So now Mustafa Ali is knocked the fuck out. Wesley just took out Dominic Mysterio. Now we think that Wesley may in fact pin Dominic Mysterio. So what happens? Rhea Ripley distracts the ref once again. Gives Dominic Mysterio the women's championship. Dominic Mysterio nails Wesley with the women's championship. Attempts another pin, only gets a two count. Dominic goes for a frog splash, and Mustafa Ali finally gets back in the match. And Mustafa Ali kicks Dominic Mysterio in the head. So now Wesley, who is outside the ring, gets face-to-face with Rhea Ripley once again. And Rhea Ripley, we get I think this was our first holy shit chant of the night. Rhea Ripley takes Wesley and does this. Just picks him up like a sack of potatoes and puts him right through the announcer's table. And it was pure strength, because you see Wesley didn't get much of a lift, and Rhea Ripley just picked him up and just forced him through the table, and the crowd is chanting, holy shit, holy shit. And while this is going on, like I said, Dominic is in a ring with Mustafa Ali. Dominic goes for a frog splash. Mustafali kicks him in the head. And then, unfortunately, Mustafali, he goes and gets Wesley, brings him back in the ring, and hits a 450 splash. So Mustafali's about to get the pin. Remember what we did with predictions on Wednesday, that Mustafali will probably get the pin and Dominic will pull him out of the ring and steal the victory? Well, this was a little different tonight, because when Mustafali hit the 450 splash, Rhea Ripley pulled Mustafali outside the ring. So ref can't do nothing about it. This allowed Dominic Mysterio to climb the ropes, hit the frog splash, beautiful looking frog splash, by the way, and gets the 1, 2, 3. And your winner of the match, thanks to a lot of Rhea Ripley interference, Dominic Mysterio retains the championship. After the match is over, Wesley and Mustafali very, very pissed off. I think eventually they're going to have to do a stipulation where Rhea Ripley is barred from ringside. All members of Judgment Day are barred from ringside. If any member of Judgment Day gets involved, that Dominic loses the title. That's probably where they're going to go from here. I mean, Dominic's going to lose the title soon. They're not going to do it yet. They're going to wait past SummerSlam, because obviously Finn Balor is going to end up being the only person without some type of accolade under the... That's why when I did the Beatles album tribute to the Judgment Day, Damian Priest was holding the briefcase. Rhea Ripley's holding the women's title. Dominic Mysterio's holding the NXT North American title. And Finn Balor's holding a paper bag. Because after SummerSlam is over, everybody's going to have something except for Finn Balor. Once that storyline twist gets instilled in everybody's heads, then you'll be able to start planting the seeds for Dominic Mysterio to lose that championship. But Dominic Mysterio right now, listen, I know some people feel he's a little overexposed right now. I say no. You see the ratings. He ended up scoring the highest rating of any member of Judgment Day who appeared in a match on NXT in July. And the crowd is into it. Plus, they're in Texas tonight. That doesn't hurt at all. So Dominic Mysterio retains the NXT North American Championship. Backstage, Mackenzie Mitchell interviews Trick Williams. Trick Williams, he feels that Ilya Dragunov doesn't exactly respect his friendship with Carmelo Hayes. And that friendship, you know, it's very close. Ilya will never understand how close they really are. Talks about how far back they go. And that makes everybody think tonight on social media, oh, Trick is going to turn on him. Well, not just yet. Not just yet. So the next match, and again, this is bullshit finish number two. We had two of them tonight. Tiffany Stratton successfully retaining the NXT Women's Championship over Thea Hale. Tiffany Stratton comes out. Hey, can you blame her? With everything Barbie right now, she comes out looking like Barbie. Everybody's into it. That guy sitting in ringside, I know I shouldn't talk, but I would not be wearing a tight white hot rod t-shirt. But anyway, people are like, how do you recognize that? Your eyes should be only on Tiffany Stratton. Well, Tiffany Stratton looking like Barbie. Thea Hale wearing the Texas colors, coming out to the ring with Andre Chase and Duke Hudson. And the crowd, you know, they were kind of split, let's be honest. And at one point during the match, as I said earlier, you got Let's Go Thea, Thea Sucks. Crowd was into Tiffany Stratton quite a bit, and can you blame them? Tiffany Stratton has improved significantly over the last year, and people have taken notice. People see how much hard work, and, you know, people, whether you're a heel or a babyface, they will, show respect to someone who's working their ass off. And that kind of showed tonight. And it's really unfair to Thea Hale because her career has just started. You know, this is a lot of pressure. You know, these are human beings, and I'm not trying to be soft here. But Thea Hale, only being 19 years old, you know, the last time, you know, she's in Orlando for most of the time in front of a couple of hundred people. Now she's semi-main eventing in Austin, Texas, in front of thousands and thousands and a ton of people at home. That's got to be a lot of added pressure. Now, I will say this. There's some reports going around that Tiffany Stratton was concussed during the match. I have nothing right now to confirm that. I will try to get an update in time for Monday's show. If not, by Wednesday night Dynamite, we should have an answer. I'm sure we'll probably see her on NXT on Tuesday. But some people are reporting that. I don't know if it is true. I didn't see some. I did see the spot where she got dumped on her head. Just because you get dumped on your head or it looks like you get dumped on your head doesn't necessarily mean you were concussed. Ask Kenny Omega on that one. But this was a fun match. Now, remember, it was submission. And that's a very important point. Because towards the latter part of the match, we had Thea Hale getting some offense. She hit an exploder off the top rope to Tiffany Stratton. And that looked a little scary. You go back and watch it in slow-mo. You know, when Tiffany Stratton turns her body to land on her back, she was not too far from the mat when she turned her head. You know, that looked a little scarier than you realize. Because if that would have been a small, you know, amount of time difference, she could have landed on her head. She did not land on her head on that move, but if you look back at the exploder, she was a little bit lower than she should have been. That was a little scary when I saw that. But after Thea Hale nails the exploder, she's going for a pin, and you don't win by pin. You got to win by submission. So she locks the Kimura on Tiffany Stratton, but Tiffany Stratton grabs the ropes. So the match continues. At one point, it looked like Tiffany Stratton tapped. But remember, you have to tap a certain number of times in order for the referee. This is something that WWE has not used often, but they have in recent years. They've done it once or twice, that you go like this and you think the match is over, but you have to do it multiple times. So the crowd starts chanting that she tapped out. And there were a lot of fans that realized that technically she didn't. So you had the dueling chant. You tapped out. No, she didn't. You tapped out. No, she didn't. So they're going back and forth. And then it's like, no, she didn't. Yes, she did. Tiffany Stratton nails her patent moonsault onto Thea Hale's back. And this would spell the end of the match. Tiffany Stratton locks a Boston Crab onto Thea Hale. And this was, I think this went a little bit too long, but Thea Hale has got the Boston Crab on, and Tiffany Stratton has the Boston Crab on Thea Hale, and Thea Hale is writhing in pain. And at one point, I guess Tiffany Stratton slipped a little bit, and she had, like, her legs came out from under her, so she broke the hold. And then she improvised, which I thought was very good. She locks it back on for a few seconds. Thea Hale does not tap out. She then intentionally breaks the hold, Tiffany Stratton, and locks it on and pulls back. So it looks like that she's repeatedly trying to do it a little bit different. So then finally, when Thea Hale doesn't tap, Tiffany Stratton changes it into a one-legged crab, like a one-leg Boston Crab. Thea Hale is writhing in so much pain. And then Andre Chase decides he's going to throw in the towel. And he's got to throw it over the top rope for added dramatics. Not just throw it underneath the rope. He throws it over the top rope. The referee sees it, calls for the bell. Once again, the crowd does not like the finish. They wanted Tiffany Stratton for the most part to win, but they didn't like the bullshit finish of throwing the towel. So Tiffany Stratton wins the match, and Andre Chase tending to Thea Hale. Duke Hudson looks a little bit confused, and I think probably on NXT we'll see a confrontation with Duke Hudson and Andre Chase. Duke Hudson confronting Andre Chase. She wasn't going to give up. Why did you throw in the towel? We don't, you know, give in like that. I think that's going to lead to something between those two guys. And if you follow my shows, we're usually right on everything. So crowd did not like the finish. I did not like it either. And again, if you don't want Thea Hale to lose two matches in a row like that, don't put her in that position. My honest opinion. So now we go to the main event. Carmelo Hayes defending the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Ilya Dragunov. Ilya Dragunov coming to the ring. And at first, we don't notice it. Now, I can't zoom in, you know, because I don't want any technical shit. We haven't had any glitches tonight, so I don't want to fuck it up. But you look at the photo, you know, there's Ilya making his walk to the, you know, to the gorilla position. Then we see Carmelo Hayes with Trick Williams. Trick Williams looking like he's trying out for the remake of Urban Cowboy. So they go to the ring. Then we had a nice little tribute to Dusty Rhodes. We had a couple of banners come down, and they're quotes from Dusty Rhodes. Get a dream, hold on to it, and shoot for the sky. All quotes from Dusty Rhodes, and then a gigantic banner comes down with the word him, and they make their way to the ring. But as I said with Ilya, when Ilya, because I rewound it and I looked closely, Ilya, when he was walking in the back, I didn't see them, but when he went to the ring, then we realized that he brought the red contacts back. Ilya looking for blood. And this match, like I said earlier, this match was one-sided for well over 10 minutes. The crowd early on was pretty split between the two guys. But it's very hard to have a split crowd when Ilya Dragunov has 95% of the offense. And this pretty much sets the tone for the majority of the match. They're reacting to everything Ilya is dishing to Carmelo. And as I said earlier, this template of this match is very, very similar to Melo's match against Bron Breakker, and almost identical to Melo's match against Baron Corbin. Yes, different offense by Melo's opponents, but the template was the same. Baron Corbin dominated for the first two-thirds of the match. Tonight, Ilya beating the shit out of Carmelo Hayes. Domination, hard chops, hard kicks, suplexes, over and over. So many suplexes that the crowd started chanting Suplex City to Ilya Dragunov. We get at one point a little chop exchange from both guys, and then Ilya just chops Carmelo Hayes right in the face, knocks him on his ass, and Carmelo Hayes, his chest is starting to turn beet red, and he is getting the shit knocked out of him. You hear Trick Williams at ringside, very, very animated, trying to get Carmelo Hayes going. At one point during the match, Trick Williams goes and grabs the title. And Carmelo Hayes is laid out on the mat. Trick Williams has got the title, and he's showing it to Melo. And he's like, you're the champ. You're him. You know, get up. Do this. And I know people online are thinking that Trick is going to hit him with the belt. But no, Trick Williams doing everything tonight, rooting for Carmelo Hayes. And at this point, the crowd starts chanting, this is awesome. You realize it's awesome. But at this point, Ilya Dragunov has 95% of the offense. This is an annihilation. Crowd is loving it. But Carmelo Hayes is taking a fucking beating. So now we're about 10 minutes in this match, and Ilya Dragunov is still with the offense. Get a short arm clothesline by Ilya. Carmelo Hayes finally starting to try to get a little bit of offense, lands a few kicks, hits a couple of punches to the head and to the body of Ilya Dragunov, gets a little bit of a chop exchange, but Ilya once again, short arm clothesline, they're knocked out, and Ilya starts locking some submission moves on Carmelo Hayes. And he's dominating. And then we get the move of the night. This was spectacular. And when you get a move like this and the crowd starts chanting, holy shit, and all it is a reversal, you realize how cool this looked. Ilya tries another suplex, but Carmelo Hayes starts nailing a few shots to Ilya, the back of Ilya's head. Finally nails the springboard DDT off the middle of the rope and only gets a two count. Ilya quickly regains the upper hand and nails an insane senton to the back of Carmelo Hayes' head. And at this point, we think the match is close to being over. It really starts to feel like Ilya Dragunov's going to get the win. Then we get the move of the night, in my opinion. Ilya climbs the ropes, and he looks at Trick Williams. I'm going to pause it. He looks at Trick Williams. In fact, I'm going to have to rewind it. He looks at Trick Williams and blows him a kiss. There you go. Blows him a kiss. So Ilya climbs the top rope. Carmelo Hayes is on the opposite side of the ring. And we think Ilya is going to go coast to coast. And Melo reverses it. And somehow Melo nails him with this. Crowd went nuts. And move of the night, crowd is chanting, holy shit, holy shit. And now Melo finally gets the momentum. Again, you go back to the other matches that I said before, it wasn't the same move, but there was that one turning point that gave the opening for Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes climbs the top rope and gets a little bit more offense on Ilya Dragunov. And then we get fight forever chants from the crowd. Fight forever. And crowd is loving it. Trick Williams trying to give Melo a little bit more of a pep talk to finish him off. They start exchanging chops in the middle of the ring. Then the fight goes to the outside. And here's the finish of the match. We're outside the ring. And Trick Williams is next to Melo. Trick is trying to get Melo, you know, get up. And while they're by the commentator's table, the announcer's table, we see Ilya Dragunov running from the opposite side of the ring, and he launches himself over the ring steps and goes for a torpedo Moscow onto Carmelo Hayes. At the last second, Carmelo Hayes moves out of the way, and Trick Williams ends up eating the shot. Kind of reverse of what happened on NXT. Remember, Carmelo took the bullet for Trick. This time around, Trick took the bullet for Carmelo, but Trick wasn't expecting it. Melo just happened to move out of the way, and Ilya nails him with it. So Ilya gets back in the ring, but is immediately greeted with offense from Melo. Melo climbs the ropes, hits the leg drop. Nothing but net. One, two, three. The winner of the match, Carmelo Hayes, retains the championship, and Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, barely able to stand in the middle of the ring. We get the logo in the corner. People are still wondering, is Trick going to turn on Carmelo Hayes? No, he did not. We go off the air. Carmelo Hayes is still your NXT world champion. We had four different This Is Awesome chants during the match. We had a Fight Forever chant. And the match was awesome. Yes, Ilya has been wrestling a lot longer than Carmelo Hayes. So it is unfair to compare Ilya to Carmelo Hayes. But what you learn and you see from this match is that Ilya is so polished and so good at what he does. If you picture him on the main roster, if you watch this match tonight, you got to ask yourself a serious question, a real serious question. Would WWE under Triple H and Vince and everyone, would they allow Ilya to do half the stuff he does on the main roster? if you even look closely with Gunther, it's almost like holidays. Like we don't have many holidays during the year. Like Gunther, if you watch his stuff in NXT, he chopped the fuck out of somebody, and their chest would be raw meat. Yeah, when he had the match against Riddle, that's an exception to the rule. He has a match against, you know, Drew, that might be an exception to the rule. But for the most part, especially with Ilya, because Ilya, with all due respect, is nowhere near Gunther's level. Are they going to let Ilya beat the balls out of people on the main roster like that? A lot of what you see Ilya doing in NXT, I don't think would jive. If you look at Ludwig Kaiser and you watch his offense on the main roster, he is domesticated now. His offense is more in tune what WWE wants on that main roster. Ilya would have to tweak a lot. And I guarantee that's something that a lot of people haven't thought about. I have said it repeatedly. I think Ilya, even though I love him, I prefer him as a babyface, I think Ilya with Kaiser would be an insanely awesome tag team. Nothing against Vinci, but I would get Vinci out of Imperium but put Ilya in his place. I think those two guys, Kaiser and Ilya, oh my God. And Ilya looks like he would fit into Imperium, like perfect. But where do you go from here with Ilya? Where do you go from here? I mean, would you dare go Ilya versus Dominic Mysterio? Can you imagine Dominic Mysterio taking an ass kicking like that? I mean, Dominic probably would have to really fuck up on that main roster for WWE to decide, you know what, you're going to get Ilya. And you're going to get him for 18 minutes. Let me tell you something. That give Carmelo Hayes credit, man. Even though he had very little offense overall in that match, that guy took everything that Ilya dished out. And they're hurting tonight. But that match was excellent. Very one-sided, but it was excellent. So that was Great American Bash tonight. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 7.5. I'm a little bit annoyed that Bron Breakker wasn't on this show at all. They could have done an impromptu match. The show ended kind of early. You know, it started at 8 o'clock, and it was over by, what, 10:35? 2.5 hours, about? You know, they could have easily gave another 10 minutes worth of a match. I think 7.5 is good. I mean, did any match suck tonight? No. But the finish of Gable Stevenson and Baron Corbin, to me, was bullshit. And the finish with Thea Hell and Tiffany Stratton was kind of bullshit. You know, it just felt like, you know what? It felt like cop-outs. That would have felt like. I mean, it just felt like a cop-out. You want Gable Stevenson and Baron Corbin to go further, that's fine. But it's his first match. You know, I don't think his first match should have ended in a clusterfuck. I'm sure they did not expect Austin, Texas to be so negative on Gable Stevenson. But still, your first match, Olympic gold medalist, you know, like a lot of buzz. You know, a lot of buzz. Gable Stevenson, remember when he signed with WWE? That was a big fucking deal in the real world. Now you got all the eyes out of curiosity. Wow, he's going to have his first pro wrestling match tonight, and it ends the way it did. You know, nothing. If I don't follow wrestling, but I follow Olympic wrestling, or if I know Gable Stevenson and I followed his work outside of pro wrestling, and I'm very, very interested and curious to see what he does, and I see that tonight, I would have been like, wow, he fucking decided to join the circus instead of, you know, representing his country and doing this and that. I don't like what they did tonight. Crowd made it fun, don't get me wrong, but they really, really missed the ball tonight by not having Kurt Angle come out there with him. That could have easily changed the tone. And again, listen, he just started. Plenty of time to fix the problem. But, you know, man, you know, you kick off your career that way. man, that's not how I think WWE and you know NXT expected it to go down, but it did. But it did. So, got a couple of super shout outs to give before we start wrapping this up. Roger Rubio is in the house. Thank you for the 20 spot, Roger. Much appreciated. DT, I don't normally watch NXT. With NXT coming to Bakersfield, California for No Mercy, I think it's September 30th, I'll be buying tickets and going with a friend. I watched today and I'm blown away of how good this was. I'm excited to go watch NXT now. That's good, man. Listen, I don't like comparing AEW to NXT. I think it's very unfair. Yes, NXT, WWE is giving a lot more exposure. You put main roster people making cameos. You got Dominic as a champion. You know, you see the ratings. Listen, I've brought this up for a month now, and you don't even see sites that are run by women, dedicated to women, only talk about women. They don't even bring it up. The women in WWE are maximizing their time as far as ratings go. Rhea Ripley and Natalya was the highest rated part of Raw a couple of weeks ago. Dana Brooke and Cora Jade was the highest point of NXT this past week, believe it or not. Last week, I don't remember, Io Sky and Charlotte Flair, outside of the Bloodline, of course. And you see progression. You see progression, but again, this is still their developmental. So you got to cut a little bit of slack. That's why even the pre-show tonight, I don't want to be extra hard on Jakara Jackson. She's got a whole career ahead of her. You know, you look at, you know, some of the younger talents, even The Rock's daughter. I mean, I was surprised that they showed the replay from NXT this past Tuesday because that was not very good. We're going to have interrogation, which was kind of goofy. But yeah, NXT is still a developmental. And honestly, when you don't overhype it, you appreciate what they're doing even more. That's how I look at it. You don't want to look at the NXT roster and judge it the same way you judge Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage, or Collision. Because these wrestlers in NXT, they're still trying to hone their craft. And I think some people set the bar way too high with NXT. And then they see a subpar match here and there, and they shit on it like it's the end of the person's career. And that's a little unfair. So tonight, they put their A game on. If they wouldn't have had those two bullshit finishes tonight, I think this event would have been perceived a hell of a lot different. And the funny thing about it is, you could have been very, very creative of Thea Hill tapping out instead of just throwing in the towel. It's not the end of the world. But, man, that Gable Steveson stuff, that was pretty wild tonight because the magnitude of who he is and the buzz outside of pro wrestling. Outside, I'm surprised WWE would want that kind of a bullshit finish. So, thank you for that, Roger. Thank you for that. Rizzo, we talked earlier about Brian Pillman Jr. Yeah, he could be a good way to get a feud with Carmelo Hayes, but if you blow your load with Brian Pillman Jr. getting a title shot this early, then what do you do? Then what do you do? So I don't think that would be... You could tease it, but I don't think that's the way to go. Not yet. But thank you, Rizzo, for the 5 spot. Ronnie C with the 20 spot. DT, if WWE or Tony D'Angelo offered to pay me a nice amount of money for the rights of my Don Tony account on Twitter and everywhere else or everything else, would I do it? No. I mean, if they offered me a gigantic check, yeah, I would probably think about it, but no. I've been doing this Don Tony stuff. It's a reflection of me, where I come from. You know, the managerial shit I used to do, even though it wasn't good on the indies years back. The podcasts, Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. You know, a lot of me is authentic. You know, I don't wear, you know, this hat outside. You know, once in a blue moon I'll put it on, but no, I wouldn't sell myself. So I appreciate that, but I probably wouldn't. So anyone in the live chat, you have any quick questions regarding to NXT you want me to answer? We'll spend like 5 minutes. If you have any quick questions, you know, something easy because it is midnight over here. And tomorrow's Monday morning. I got to get to work. Something NXT related, you know, if you have any questions. Gruss says that Brian Pillman Jr. should face Dominic Mysterio. That's a good one. The son of a legend versus the son of a legend. I mean, yeah, I could see that. Brian, you know what? That's not bad. I wonder how you all would feel if Brian Pillman Jr. was the one to dethrone Rey Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio of the NXT North American Championship. That would be interesting. I don't know if they would go that route. Plus, would Brian Pillman Jr.'s offense mesh well with Dominic Mysterio? I guess it could, because Dominic seems to be working good with everybody. So that's a possibility. I like it. What's next for Tiffany Stratton? Asks Austin Nance. Oh, boy. Tiffany Stratton, you know, we talked about it recently. We talk about Carmelo Hayes kind of being stuck in the mud going forward. Tiffany Stratton kind of stuck in the mud as well. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets maybe Gigi Dolan. That's a possibility. There's nobody, let me put it this way. There's nobody right now that is like really under the skin of Tiffany Stratton, you know, where, you know, they could lead to a feud. Let me say it like this. It almost feels like they may have to do a tournament. Roxanne Perez is another choice. Roxanne Perez, I'm still a little baffled from before Stand and Deliver, how they handled her losing the championship. So you could, there's quite a few baby faces on the NXT roster. You can slide in there and have a match with Tiffany Stratton. I almost feel like, would they do another tournament to determine a new number one contender? I think they're going to do a number one contenders match at minimum. And that's an easy feud. You know, that's an Acme Insta feud, like I used to say. If you do a number one contenders match, you don't need a storyline. You know, you don't want to do the cheesy that Tiffany Stratton's in the back and somebody bumps into her and that leads to a fight. Look at Chris Statlander. Look at Chris Statlander. On Saturday? No, it was Wednesday Night Dynamite. What did I say on Wednesday? I said Chris Statlander, they're doing the same exact thing like they did with Jay Cargill. And what did I say on Wednesday? Chris Statlander will have a match and then somebody will show up, either confront her or lay her out, and then boom, match on Dynamite. Look at what happened this past weekend. Chris Statlander comes out, gets laid out, boom, match announced. You know, it's a pretty shitty title reign if you're honest, but it's not going to be any better for Tiffany Stratton if they do the same thing. So, Tyler Bate versus Dominic Mysterio would be fun. I don't think it would get the attention that, you know, people would expect. Some people think Tyler Bate might be a possibility for Imperium. I don't think so. I don't like the idea of Tyler Bate and Imperium. I think Ilya, the way he dresses, you see about his history, his family, where they come from. Ilya, 10 times over. Tyler Bate would be fun, but I think Tyler Bate, it feels like WWE is not doing much with him right now, so I say no. Nikita Lyons will be back soon. I mean, she is working out. She's still rehabbing from injury. Wendy Chu is still rehabbing from injury, so they're still out. Do I see William Regal managing his son? Not in the near future. They have to wait that year because of the AEW thing and, you know, out of respect, because William Regal, I mean, look, if it was up to Vince, Vince would say, fuck it, you're on TV. And Vince would almost pretty much say behind the scenes, what is Tony Khan going to do? Cry on Twitter? You know, like, but William Regal, you know, out of respect, because that's the type of person he is not returning to TV until that time period goes by. I do not expect William Regal on television at all in 2023. Umar asks, will Laia Vaccaria be promoted to the main roster and align with Judgment Day? As of right now, Lyra is better as a babyface. I really enjoyed the little rub that Rhea Ripley gave her, but no, I don't think so. Lyra Vaccaria is good. She's very good. In fact, she could end up fighting Tiffany Stratton after all of this. In fact, I think that might be the reason why Lyra was given to Rhea. Last week, we predicted that Rhea Ripley was going to take on Lyra. And she did. And that was a nice little rub. And now we have a little more interaction. Prove me right. And she's feeling, maybe after she's done with JC Jane on Tuesday, Lyra may challenge Tiffany Stratton for that championship. That is a possibility, too. That is a possibility. But, no, you see, yeah, I agree. What JS is saying, you don't want to add people to Judgment Day just to add them. You know, I know people are teasing, or Finn Balor's teasing, that they may add somebody to Judgment Day. You know, sometimes they're just playing up to the internet teasing. But, you know, you want to add someone, it's got to mean something. You don't want to start just putting people on there for the sake of putting people on there. Right now you got four. There's no reason to add anybody else. There's no need to. I think keep it the way it is for the foreseeable future. So, but I like Lyra Vaccaria. You know, she's definitely really, really good. But I don't think there should be any rush to bring her to the main roster. I don't think it's necessary. Kevin Milwaukee, I absolutely, emphatically do not want to see NXT go in 3 hours. I mean, I like watching up-and-coming stars and rookies and people developing right before our very eyes. It's awesome to see where Bron Breakker has come to now, Tiffany Stratton, and others. It's awesome to watch that progress. 3 hours would be just too draining, way too much draining. Raw, where you're watching the big money stars, you're watching the ticket sellers, you're watching, and no, I would not want to see 3 hours of NXT. Pay-per-view, I don't mind 3 hours. TV, two's enough. Two's more than enough. So, all right, let's start bringing this home. Maybe one or two more questions, and we're going to get out of here. So don't forget, Monday after Raw, I will be right back here, less than 24 hours. And it'll be to go home Raw for SummerSlam. So we're going to have some interesting confrontations. The tag title main event, or not tag title, but the tag team main event, little rinse and repeat. Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but go look it up and you'll be like, oh, that's all I'm going to say. Let's see NXT. Do I see them creating another title for NXT? No, not right now, but I will repeat what I said last week. They definitely should create another women's championship in NXT. They took away the tag titles, so now you only have one championship. And that kind of sucks for the women there, that you're either on top of the world or nothing as far as titles go. And I know what some people are going to say, well, titles are just props and, you know, it's not the... No, it's actually... You know, the titles do mean something. And when you see CM Punk whip it out of the bag on Collision, you know, it's a storyline. When people think that Ricky Starks is going to become a heavyweight champion, that means they give a shit about the championship. If the titles don't mean nothing, then you could care less, as long as Ricky Starks is getting the push, getting TV time. The titles do mean something. And I think there should be more than one championship for the women to gun for. Tag team? Okay, I get it. The tag team division in NXT women was not very strong. There's a lot of average, you know, talent, you know, that's still like in the middle of the food chain. I think there should be a secondary women's championship, singular championship in NXT. There's no such thing as TV-13. I mean, I know what you're saying, PG-13. You know, I get that. No, it's either going to be PG or 14. They're not going to start going at middle ground. I know what you're saying, and I think that's a great idea, Bobby, but You know, it's either going to be PG or TV-14. I don't see NXT going TV-14. I don't think you need to. I think NXT, you don't need... Listen, you can get away with Weapons Wild. Everything clicked tonight. You don't need to do anything more. You know, it's enough. And weapons should not be used as much in NXT. It's still developmental. That's why, you know, when they do like these war game stuff in NXT, especially with some wrestlers, I mean, when they did it with Undisputed Era, that's different. But when you did it with a lot of women that are still very, very young in their career, you know, that gets a little concerning. So, all right. Let's see. Any other NXT questions? We'll talk WWE tomorrow. We'll talk AEW and NXT during the week. I talked about Santos Escobar and Austin Theory yesterday. First name, John. It'll happen in 2 weeks. So, you know, I don't see a turn. I don't see a Santos Escobar turn. I know a lot of people are saying that right now. I don't see it at all. You turn, all right, I'll just say this about WWE since we're, even though it's an NXT night. If you turn Santos Escobar heel, that's the end of the LWO. Rey Mysterio, even on the thumbnails for SmackDown's match, there was a lot of them that didn't have the LWO shirt on. You're not going to have Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro and Zelina Vega be the representatives of the LWO. You need someone that has to be close to a main eventer. Santos Escobar fits that. I want to see what happens when Carlito comes in. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here since the topics have shifted away from NXT. Tonight we dedicated to NXT and the Great American Bash. I want to thank you all for joining me. You know, a little bit of a change of pace because Sunday nights we usually do the sit-down, but definitely fun to bring back the pay-per-view review. Don't forget, this Tuesday, Kevin and I will be doing preview and predictions for SummerSlam. If you're a part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, you could join us live. If not, no worries, DonTony.com. We will have the show up there for everyone sometime between midnight Tuesday night and 1 a.m., so look out for that. And if Kev is available next Tuesday, we will do a recap and review of SummerSlam. So, my friends, if you enjoyed the show, I would appreciate if you smash that thumbs up. I know I don't say it enough, but when you hear every podcaster, every YouTuber and their mothers say like, oh, smash that thumbs up, hit the like, subscribe, hit the reminder bell. And yeah, it does help. It does give a little bit more exposure. And obviously, you know, more exposure is a good thing. And don't forget DonTony.com. If you can, download the audio shows. You might want to check out the audio recap. The audio shows are the lifeline of what I do here. It's about 90% of the audience. I don't mind doing video, so I could show you little video clips and highlights. But, you know, the audio is really, I mean, you look at all those rankings and everything. That's all audio only. Unfortunately, the video part of it does not get included. So download those audio shows. It helps me tremendously. And it's free. That's the most important thing about it. You know, I don't like, you know, to try to pull a money grab because I know some people are paywall or nothing. But that helps me tremendously. So download those audio shows, DonTony.com. And that's it. I'm out of here. Now, when I'm done with the show, even though it's kind of hard right now, I take my Italian bread. I dip it twice. You got to put some grated cheese because that makes it extra nice. Tony D. Me. Hey, I'm Tony D. Hey, I'm the real Don. Tony D'Angelo. Stacks. This bread is for you. Where's my outro? Where's my outro? Here's my outro. Eating bread at 1 a.m. Not good. Especially when you're fat.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.